Well, our numbers seem to be out of kilter. We have more here today with me present than we did last Sunday with me gone. So I can kid Isaac now this week. I do want to say something about the numbers and ask you to think just a bit. Perhaps last week was one of the lowest set of numbers that we had except Sunday night. If you notice, as I understand it, these 37 is Sunday night. We had more Sunday night than we did Sunday morning. Our Sunday night attendance has been really good for the last several months, and I'm thankful for that. And I know that there are reasons that our attendance varies on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. But let me point out something to you. Those numbers are not as important as your relationship to those numbers. I was not here in the 22, the 31, the 37, and the 23. But I was in Bible study and worship somewhere else. And if you're not able to be here, try to be in worship and Bible study when you have an opportunity. And I think it would be good if each one of us were to ask, am I in that number in Sunday school and worship and Sunday night and Wednesday night? And then as far as the contribution is concerned, our contribution has stayed up well, and I appreciate that, even though we're a little bit lower some of the Sundays now. But you know, that total figure is not as important as where do I fit into that? What in that is according to me? I'm gone quite a bit, but I try to either double my contribution the Sunday before I leave or the Sunday that I'm back. And it's not as important how much I give relative to the amount or relative to what you give as it is to what I'm capable of giving. And so let me encourage you to think in terms of yourself as an individual. And if you're doing what's right with God and what God accepts, that's what's important. We are concerned about the figures. We want to grow. We want to be able to do the work of the Lord. But each one of us needs to think about his relationship to God. And it's not whether I am there more than somebody else or give more than somebody else. It's whether or not I'm doing what God expects me to do and whether you're doing what God expects you to do. Mention was made of next Sunday's contribution going to the Tennessee Children's Home. I will use the entire back page of the bulletin for next week to describe some of the details of what's happening. But basically, the part that has to do with West Tennessee is the building of two new homes or houses and the renovation of the three that are there on the West Tennessee campus, which is just outside of Henderson. And that'll give us five homes there. If we can take care of eight in each of those, that'll be 40 young people that we can take care of just on the West Tennessee campus. And I'm very thankful for what's happening at Chapmansboro, which is north of Ashland City in Middle Tennessee. We've had a part of the work going on there for a while, and now they're making some changes to turn those houses into duplexes and to use that section to try to unite families, where they have a child or two that's from a family and they're working with them. They're going to try to bring at least the mother into that duplex there in Ashland City and get the children back with her and put those families back together. And I think that's one of the greatest works that I have seen doing. I say all of that to say this. Try to give a little extra next Sunday if you can. We are sending $1,800 a year to Tennessee Children's Home. That's $150 each month. There are 600 churches sending support to Tennessee Children's Home. And they have figured up if each of those 600 would double their support for 3 years, that they would have half of the goal that they're trying to raise. And so if we are able to send $1,800 from next week's contribution, that will be the amount that we send regularly. And if we can do that for 3 years, then that will help especially in this work. On January the 5th of this year, I began a series of lessons on Back to the Bible. Today is the 19th and the last in that series. I usually do not run a series of lessons that long, But we have covered what I believe to be some of the most important subjects, some of the most fundamental principles in these lessons. Here are the lessons that we have studied. I think it would be good to remind us. What is the Bible? The law business. The Bible is the Word of God. Attitudes toward the Bible. Attacks on the Bible. The importance of the Bible. A good Bible student. The power of the Bible. Rightly dividing the Bible. The sum of God's Word. What the Bible does for us. Four lessons on why we believe the Bible, one on style, one on unity, one on prophecy, and one on the scientific accuracy of God's Word. The milk of the Word, inside the back cover, talking about things that are in our Bibles and yet they're not in the text. Effects of the Gospel, and today's lesson, a summary lesson, the Bible and you. If you'll stop and think about it, we've covered a lot of material in these 19 lessons. We've talked about God's Word and our relationship to it from just about every angle that we can think of. And today I want to sum up this lesson by talking about the Bible and you. 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 13, Paul said to the younger preacher Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance," and some versions translate that "attention," "to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Our subject for the lesson especially comes from verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. You need to consider God's Word, the Bible, but you also need to consider yourself, is what he is saying. There are three things that I want to put across today. Number one, you need to get yourself into the Bible. Number two, you need to get the Bible into you. And number three, you need to get the Bible out of you to others. And I think that's really somewhat of a summary of all that we've talked about so far this year on Sunday morning in the lessons that I have brought. Let's consider each of those three points. Get the Bible into you. You cannot teach what you do not know. And there's another statement that goes along with that, is that you cannot lead where you do not go. Both of these are really associated with our lesson today. Notice in our text that he said you need to spend some time reading. Give attention to reading. I am persuaded, and I have no scientific proof of this, that people in general in the church today are not reading the Bible as much as our parents and grandparents did. I know how much time, especially my mother, spent in just reading from God's Word over and over and over again. I have shared with you about a man who was a member of the church at Clarksville who told me that since he was 17, and he was 83 at the time we were talking, he had read and studied three chapters of the Bible every day of his life. That's the equivalence of reading through the Bible 60 times, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I think one of the reasons that we do not put ourselves into the Bible as much today in reading is because we have so many other things that will take our attention and our time that especially our grandparents didn't have. Many times when they had finished their work on the farm and came in to rest, they didn't have a television. Some of them didn't even have a radio. And just to be able to sit down and read the Bible was not only something that was good from the standpoint of learning God's Word, but it was almost a recreation to them, I think we could say, or at least a way to use their time. And they would spend a lot of time in reading God's Word. One of my biggest problems as a preacher is that I tend to do my studying from the Bible relative to the production of a sermon or a class. And as I look back over my life, I have not spent a lot of time just sitting down just to read God's Word. Just to sit down and read it as a book or as a chapter. Most of mine has been digging into it to prepare for a sermon or a class. I am coming more and more to the opinion that we need to spend some time just sitting down and reading God's Word as we would read a novel or as we would read a biography of someone. Of course, it is God's Word. It's different in that sense. But how many times do we sit down and read God's Word just because we enjoy reading? We enjoy reading His Word. We need to get ourselves more into the Bible. You know the verse, study to show thyself approved in 2 Timothy 2:15, which indicates that we need to do more than just read. We do need to study. Here in 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. And in some versions, that word attendance is translated attention. That means listening to what he says. If you and I are talking and I'm paying attention to you, that means I'm listening to what you're saying. And that's another area where I need some help. But listening to God's Word, trying to figure out what is he saying to me? What did God mean by this? We're told to search the Scriptures daily in Acts 17:11. There may be times that we need to search it to determine what the truth is on some certain point. So we need to read, we need to study, we need to listen, and we need to search. That's putting ourselves into the Bible. We need to do this regularly, especially under the old law in passages like Deuteronomy 6. He indicates that the parents were to spend time in the morning, at the meals, in the afternoon, in the evenings, teaching their children, spending some time with God's Word. We need to do that regularly. We need to do it early in life. Timothy was told and reminded that he'd known the Scriptures from a child up in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. We need to put thought to it. His desires in the law of the Lord, Psalms 1 and 2. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditation is mentioned here in giving attention to God's Word, and it's mentioned there in Psalms 1. We need to think and we need to meditate. How much time do you and I use sitting down with the Bible and reading a few verses and then just sitting there and thinking about what did God mean? How does that apply to me? What lesson am I supposed to get from this? That's the idea of meditating on the Word of God. And so with the words read, study, listen, search, do it regularly, begin early in life, think about it, meditate upon it, we have the point made that we're to put ourselves into the Bible. We're to get ourselves into the Bible. But then in that process, we're to get the Bible into us. There are some people who can quote almost all of the Bible. Just quoting it is not enough. You could memorize something and not even think about its meaning. But I've known some preachers who preached for years and years that could quote almost any passage or close to any passage that you would bring up. That's getting the Bible into us. We read that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we emphasize the rightly dividing the word of truth, and we emphasize not being ashamed and being able to teach others. But the first thing that's said in that verse is study to show thyself approved. In other words, get God's word into your mind so that it can have an effect upon you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell. That word dwell means to live and continue to live. We talk about the house as a dwelling. Or we'll talk about a person I've dwelled in that house for 10, 15, 20 years. You see, the idea is to get it into where it can dwell in us. And Ephesians 3:17 says, let Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. Not just reading something on a page, but getting that from the page into us to where it dwells in us. Psalms 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Now that's a figure of speech there suggesting that we've taken his word and we've brought it into our hearts. And the Bible heart is the mind. It involves the intellect of knowing, the emotions, the attitude toward it, and the will and the determination to do something about it. Let the word of Christ dwell in us. Let us hide it in our minds. 105 verse in Psalms 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God needs to become the map that guides us on the journey. I keep a Tennessee map in the door of my automobile. I keep a Madison County map there. I keep a Chester County map there. I have other maps. And I want those handy so that if I need to check on something as to where I'm going, I can check. But you know, there's a tremendous amount of especially those first three maps that I mentioned that I have in my mind. When I left here to go for the meeting last week, I didn't look at the map. I knew exactly where I was going. I knew exactly how to get there. And the major places in Jackson, I don't know the side streets like this, but I know basically where to go. If you tell me to go to a certain place, I don't have to look at the map. And in Chester County and Henderson particularly, I don't have to get the map out and look. I know where most of the main streets are. Why? I've put myself into those maps, and then I've put those maps into me to where it becomes almost second nature. In fact, there's one address in Henderson that's too much second nature to me. That's 237 2nd Street. That's where I live. And I've had the experience more than once of being out in town driving and wind up in my driveway when I hadn't intended to go home. I was thinking about something else, and it's just second nature for me to go home. It's second nature for you to go home. Somehow or other, folks, we need to get the Bible into us to where it just becomes second nature. If you and I have a decision to make this week about whether to do something or not to do it, we don't really have to go back to the Bible and check. We already know what the Bible teaches on that. If we studied God's Word like we should. If there's an occasion where we have to decide, do I steal something or do I tell the truth? Or do I say certain words? We don't have to go back and study and see what the Bible says about that. We know what the Bible says. When we have the responsibility to pay our bills and to be honest, when I get my bills each month, I don't go back and check the Bible. Am I supposed to pay my bills? I already know that. That's second nature. And so that's what I mean when I say we need to get ourselves into the Bible. But then we need to get the Bible into us. But then, when we get the Bible into us, it's worth something to us personally, but it's not worth anything to anybody else unless we get it out of us to those people. You remember the teachings that we're to set the right kind of example? We're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13-16. Christ is to live in me, Galatians 2 and verse 20. And in verse 12 here in 1 Timothy 4, just before we started reading for our text, he said to the young man Timothy, "Be thou an example in thy youth, in word, in conversation," which means conduct, "in charity," or love, "in spirit," "in faith," "in purity." He tells him that before he tells him what to do relative to the word. You need to be an example, Timothy, as you and I walk about in our communities, among those in our families, and those with whom we work, without saying a word, we are getting the Bible out of us to others if we're setting the right kind of example. If our friends know that they can trust us to tell the truth and to always try to do what's right, we're teaching them the principles of Christianity. They know where we go to church. They know what we claim to be. And so just by observing, they are learning from our examples. And that's one way we get the Bible out of us to others, by showing it in daily living. But we also have the responsibility to teach God's word. Perhaps we do that also by example, but there's more to it than that. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said, "Timothy, the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The basic principle in that verse is that each generation is to teach the next generation. And then that generation is to teach the next generation. That's probably, in most instances, why most of us today know what we know about the Bible. We have been taught by the generation before us. They were taught by the generation before them. And we have the responsibility to teach the generation that's coming after us so they can teach the generation that comes after them. You see, we had to first get into the Bible and get the Bible into us, but now we've got to get the Bible out of us to other people. One of the most dangerous things that can happen in the church is a failure to teach the younger generation the basic principles of Christianity. Because if we don't, within 20 years or 40 years, we're not going to have faithful churches of the Lord standing for the truth, because we don't have people who know what the truth is. Because we haven't taught those people in the younger part of their lives what the truth is, so that they can put it into themselves and then know what it is as they get older. We need to get the teaching of God's word out to others. In Ezekiel, as a prophet, he was told that God was making him a workman to go and warn the people of their problems. You've heard this several times as another angle is approached. He said, if you teach them and they don't repent, you'll be all right. But if you teach them and they repent, both of you will be all right. But if you don't teach them, both of you are going to be lost. They'll be lost because they don't know, and you'll be lost because you haven't told them. We have a responsibility to teach God's word. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, but being ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And that sort of ties all these points together. Be ready. How can I be ready? I've got to get into the word, get the word into me. And then I'm ready to do what? To give an answer. That doesn't mean ready to argue, but it does mean ready to defend. It means ready to give God's word on whatever the subject is. If you'll notice in our text, he said, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teaching. When we talk about doctrines of the church, it should be the doctrines that come from the Bible. What's God taught on any subject? But how are we going to be able to defend that if we don't know it? When we talk to people about the observance of the Lord's Supper, the giving of our means, what we do as far as music in the worship is concerned, just singing without any mechanical instrument, Do we know how to defend that? Not in the sense of argument, but in the sense of defending it and teaching people what the Bible has to say. We need to be sure that we don't overlook this. We have to get ourselves into the Bible to know what God's Word is. Then we have to get that Word into our minds so that we have it to where it becomes almost second nature. And then by example and word of mouth, we need to get the Bible out of us to others so that they too can know what God's Word teaches. I think these three principles, these three ideas, sum up what we've taught for almost a year now, or at least two-thirds of a year, relative to our relationship to the Bible. Get into the Bible, get the Bible into you, and then get the Bible out of you to others in teaching. It seems to me that in more than half of our closing prayers, we include the statement, "Dear God, help us to take what we have learned today and apply it in our lives." I've often wanted to ask the next Sunday, did you? Did you take what we studied and apply it in your life? That sort of sums up what I'm trying to get across today. Let's take what we hear, put ourselves into the Bible, get it into us, and then let's apply it in our lives by example and by teaching others. If you have the right relationship to the Word of God, you can more easily have the right relationship in any set of circumstances in life. But if you don't know God's Word, you're going to have problems. To know it and to use it, get into the Bible, get the Bible into you, and get it out of you to others. All of us have been into the Bible enough to know the plan of salvation, that we're to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. All of us have been into the Bible enough to get it into us that we know that when we make mistakes, we're to repent, confess, and pray to God for forgiveness. The question is, are we setting the right kind of example, getting that Word out to others by living for Him? If you're not a Christian or not living as a Christian, come us together, we stand and sing.